Hi, and welcome to Stories of Climate Change Hope, the podcast that brings you a little bit of hope every other week. My name is Stefan Schwartmann, and today we listen to the second part of my conversation with Nikunj Pathak. And right now you can listen to the story he wanted to share. It's a story of an experience he made when he worked as a field researcher. Enjoy! So, we already touched upon this broader topic of hope. And yeah, did you also bring a story of hope you want to share with us, or a poem maybe?
I briefly told you in the earlier part of our conversation about a village head who is like hoping, you know, when you go out in a village and say, I'm going to do something for you. So once I met a farmer while I was working in research institute. So we were doing a project on irrigation water. So we were trying to see if the irrigation water is contaminated by fluoride, does that impact the crop which is produced by this water, you know, by using this water.
What is fluoride? Fluoride?
Fluoride is, okay, so just to give a brief background. So, I mean, there are different elements in water, right? You have cations and anions in chemistry. So some of them are good for you, some of them are bad. So some are like contaminants, which may pollute the water or decrease its quality or affect human health. And some of these ions are good for the body. So fluoride is like a contaminant. If it is found in water, then it may impact your teeth and it is not good for your health. So the WHO recommended a certain limit of 1.5 milligrams per liter of fluoride, which they say is safe. So if you have a fluoride concentration above that in water, then it is unsafe for drinking. But that's the limit for drinking water. But what if you are using the same water for irrigation? So we wanted to see whether that water affects the crop. So we wanted to see if the fluoride is like in big amount in water above the permissible limit, does that impact our crops which are growing on this water or by using this water? So for this project, we had to go to farmers and check their water quality and see if their water is contaminated with fluoride and if they are using this contaminated water for growing vegetables or other crops. Then we should take the samples of crop and see if these crops are affected by fluoride. So that was the broader objective of the project. So when I went on the field and I met a farmer and I just said, okay, we are doing this type of work, and we want to check your water quality. And he was so delighted to see me because he said, you know, you're the first person who has like come far away from my place and, you know, coming into my field and trying to see if my water is good or not. So he was really excited and hopeful. And he took me to his farm, showed me the whole area and crops that he was growing. And then he brought me to the water source. Then we collected sample from there. And we had some field kits. So we tested the water and told him about some results. Okay, this thing is good, this thing is bad or whatever. But then later on when I was leaving, he was like, he said, okay, when are you going to come next? I said, okay, I will come again after a few months. I will analyze this water and see if there is a problem. And if there is a problem, I will try to help you. So he was like, okay, this would be really great, because he said, I'm not well educated. I don't know much about these things, so if you can help me out into this would be really grateful. And somewhere down the line I knew my work has limitations, so I might not be able to fully help this person or this farmer, but still he was very hopeful that yeah, someone has come to me and offering, you know, help. So we ultimately agreed and he said, okay, you can come again if you want for your research work. And then I visit the same place again after a few months and met him again, and he was again very delighted and very hopeful. And then I told him, okay, yeah, I checked your water, which looks good, but there is some problem. Maybe we should also test your soil. And then he started telling me something about what is happening in his field. So, and he was like, he was just started talking and talking as if I have solutions to all his problems. So, which was a bit odd for me at that time. I was thinking, okay, yeah, I don't have problems, solutions to all your problems. I can just offer my help. But he was really, really, I would say, very hopeful. He thought I would do, I don't know, magic or something and change his life. So, yeah, we just talked, and then I took sample, talked to him a bit, did a brief survey, field survey, and then I went back. And whenever I'm doing anything since that day, I always think about that man, you know, you met. And I could see in his eyes, like, he was really very hopeful. He was hoping that, yeah, there is possibility of change, and this man is going to change things for me. Yeah, since that day, I guess I really realized what is hope for me. For me, hope is something that I see in other people, and sometimes also in me when things go wrong. Like, okay, this is not happening. This is not happening the way you planned it, but you have to be positive. You know, things will go well. So, yeah, that's what I feel about hope. And that's what a small hope story I had about this wonderful farmer. I can also picture him sometimes when I'm sitting alone, trying to see. Because it's really rare, you know, it's once in a lifetime experience when you meet someone who's so desperate and you see how hopeful he is. You can see the hope in his eyes, which I still can't forget.
Thank you for sharing this story. Yeah, you were doing your job, and I guess you were not even expecting anything, and then getting such a strong reaction. Yeah, wow. It sounds inspiring, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes clear that you are really helping people, and you're doing a really important job. Or you did, and you will do for your next project.
Indeed, I would say. I mean, that's a huge motivation. Whenever I do something, I always think about, like, how it's going to help or, you know, impact someone's life, and I always picture that farmer.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good motivation.
And it was a stranger, you know, a stranger who...
Complete stranger.
Who gave you this inspiration, and now you have his, I don't know, his smile. Do you think about his smile or his voice or just his appearance?
Yeah, I think I always see his smile and his eyes, because I could see clearly in his eyes what he was expecting from me. And the way he was talking to me, you know, the excited he was, you know, laughing and sharing and, you know, so enthusiastic to a stranger, you know, taking him all over the place, telling him, this is the place from where I get water. This is where we store it. These are my crops. Even he offered me, if you want to get some onions and tomatoes from here, just take it. He's like, yeah, just grab it. And yeah. If you, and yeah, because he had like a huge 10-acre field, so it was really huge. So at least in India, it's, if you have a like big farm, more than 1 acre, it's considered to be big, because we have like really small farmers who sometimes have less than 1 hectare of land. So he had, I guess, huge land.
Yeah, I could really imagine you standing next to that farmer and taking measurements. Maybe this can also help others to be inspired and be motivated by this image that you gave us.
Yeah. It's really I mean, whenever you go out on field, it's very important to understand the real picture, because we read a lot of stuff in textbooks and research papers, but when we are actually in the field and we realize the problem is a bit different, or maybe bigger than what we thought or perceived, or a bit something that I haven't expected. So I guess if we are thoroughly motivated and really want to do something, I would say things go well, you find people, and ultimately you work with them and find solutions. So that's how I see it.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story. It's a really great story. It's a really, really unique moment, I believe. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening to the second part of my conversation with Nikunj. I hope you enjoyed his story. I definitely did. This is just like an unexpected moment you did not plan, and just an amazing gesture this man did. And it had, it was a stranger who had such a huge impact on Nikunj, and then made him hopeful, because he could see that this man expects a lot from him, and this man is hopeful because Nikunj is there to help. So let's end this episode now with our little commitment. We want to say that we want to commit ourselves to the healing of our world and our society. We want to bridge gaps and decrease the separation inside society and between us and our environment. We can do one part by leading conversations about climate change and talk about our personal story. We want to do so by acting responsibly and respectfully, even when it is challenging. We will support others in their part and ask for help when we need it. And we will spread a little bit of hope every other day. Thanks a lot for listening today, and make sure you tune in next week. Bye bye. Thanks goes to Coco for the creative support and the logo design. I would also like to thank Vulcan Recorder for letting me use his music. Thanks a lot for that. Remember that you can also listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts.